trying to decide how to deal with this evening, because it's so pointed, so searching. It is for me. I'm just going to say it is for me. But our Lord said, love your enemies. He told us to do that twice. He said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Now remember last week, our Lord pronounced four blessings and four woes. Just the opposite of what the world believes is what he blesses. And he calls blessed. The world calls being rich blessed. Christ calls being poor blessed. The world calls being well spoken of blessed. Our Lord calls being hated blessed. The world calls laughing and having a big time blessed. The Lord Jesus says, weeping, sorrow, those that do that are blessed. So he just turns the world upside down as to what it is. And only believers understand those things. Only believers. We understand what it is to be poor in spirit and heart and in mind. We understand what it is to have sorrow that the world don't know nothing about. We understand what it is to be rejected for the gospel, be hated for the gospel, to have family members be against us, and have neighbors be against us because of what we believe and preach. So we understand it. But as our Lord Jesus' teaching, and his teaching was and is so far above any teaching before or any teaching since, he took the law, and he took the Old Testament, and he took human nature, and he took all around him, and he used those things and showed the spirituality of them, the blessings of them. And he deals, in our Lord Jesus Christ, he deals with heart issues, things of the heart, men's relationship with God, men's relationships with one another, husbands and wives relationships. And oh my, the relationships that we have in every issue of life, but especially that issue of life and heart issue, that a man's relationship with God. He really deals with that. And this is what we'll see here. That what he tells here for us to do is totally, totally incapable of a natural man to do. Totally incapable. You see, and he deals with issues of living day to day, how we're supposed to do day to day. And now he starts teaching this one great subject after he had pronounced the blessings and the woes. And the one great subject in these verses that I've read this evening is love, charity. Love, charity. And he taught the spirituality of the law. You've heard it said, love your neighbors and hate them that hate you, hate your enemies. You see, love is the grand characteristic of the gospel. Oh my, God so loved. God so loved. Our Lord Jesus so loved his Father. And he so loved us with that everlasting love. And oh my, when we're dealing with the gospel, that's the grand characteristic of it. You know, people get upset with God because he hated Esau. But we stand in utter and absolute astonishment that he could love Jacob. How can it be? How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Me could love this worm, him who to death pursued? Oh my. Love, charity, the scriptures tells us that's the bond of perfectness. He says faith and hope and charity of all the things in this world, these are the greatest three. And we covet those things. We covet faith. I covet faith. I covet hope. And I covet charity, and I know you do too. But he says the greatest of these is charity. Faith, there'll be a time we won't need it anymore. Hope will be realized. But there'll never be a time throughout eternity, once God put his love in our hearts, that charity will go on. And we'll love God then with an unsinning heart. We'll love God then worthy of the love that he's of. We'll love our master what he's worthy of. And that's why charity is the greatest. And the scripture says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. And what the Pharisees and the religious Jews and people do today, they change the law to fit their natures, to make them appear righteous, and yet they don't keep the law themselves. When it says here, you know, love your enemies, look what it says over in Leviticus. Here's one of the verses they used and twisted it. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. You know, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. And that's what people do. They change the law to fit their natures. And that's why people who are going to be saved by works are always miserable. Because they got to be changing their standard. They got to be changing their lines and crossing the line, back across it. And they're always upset with somebody because they're not doing what they think they ought to be doing. And that's why the Pharisees were so miserable and why they hated our Lord so much. But Leviticus 19 and verse 18. It says in verse 17. Just do this one. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now they said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. And here it says, don't even hold a vengeance in your heart. Don't even hold a grudge. And they turned that to say that the children of thy people. But love your neighbor. And our Lord Jesus Christ told us that our neighbor is anybody that's in need at any given time. And so here they took that, said, love thy people and hate everybody else. And they built up these walls and they built up these barriers between people. And here comes our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of this crooked, perverse generation. Narrow-minded, bigoted, prejudiced, exclusivity, intolerant Jews. And he came to tear down the walls between Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female. And the first thing he does is says, love your enemies. Oh my, he says, now listen, verse 17, but I say unto you which hear, you that are listening, is what that means. You that are listening, you that's in the sound of my voice, I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Now that no doubt startled that crowd, startled that audience. Love your enemies? Do good to people that hate you? That's not what we've been taught. That's not natural to us. And it's not. And our Lord here teaches us this, the nature and extent of love, or Christian love, that love as believers have in their hearts. And we got the right to ask, who are we to love? Whom is it that we're to love? He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And oh my beloved, let me tell you this. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. This is exactly what God did for us. He loved his enemies. Prayed for them which despitefully used him. Huh? Look over in Proverbs 25 with me just a minute. You keep Luke 6 and look over here in Proverbs 25. You know, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Sinners. Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You see, and that's what our Master's teaching here, that our love must be unselfish. Our love must be uninfluenced by any hope of return from anybody else. He said here in Proverbs 25 and verse 21, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. Ain't that what our Master done to us? Gave us bread. Ain't that what he says? He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. He fed us all the days of our life and we was like a hog running around in the woods eating and never looking up to see where our bread come from. Ain't that right? And not only that, watch this. And if he thirsty, give him water to drink. He gave us water to drink, took care of us, met all of our needs all the days of our lives. And who did he do that for? His enemy. His enemy. We were enemies in our minds by wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled. So you see, our Lord Jesus is calling on people and telling believers, this is the extent of your love. This is the nature of the love that you're to have in your heart. And you do have in your heart. And watch what he says now. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And oh my, did he heap coals of fire on us? We look back and we see when God, we've seen the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God began to feed us and began to give us water and took care of us. And we look and we've seen as he heaped these coals of fire and judgment and condemnation and guilt upon our heads. It was the mercy of God, and the Lord rewarded you. The Lord rewarded you with our salvation. And oh, beloved, listen, Christ and God loved his enemies. Now let's go back over here and look at these just a little bit. So we love our enemies. Love your enemies. And he says this, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Oh my. And what he's saying here is to ask the Lord to sincerely bless them which curse you. Now cursing here don't mean that they're using bad language at you, standing and cussing you out. That's not what this means. You know, it could mean that, and sometimes it does. People do that, but they always speak evil of you. Always have something negative to say about you. And they never pronounce a blessing on you. It's always a woe on you. They don't like you. They don't care for you. They don't have nothing good to say about you. If they say anything good about you, they turn right around and say, yeah, they do this, but... And so we know, ask the Lord to sincerely bless them that curse you. Show them kindness. Intercede for them before the throne of grace. Yeah. You know, our Lord Jesus, when he was on the cross, you know what he said? Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. And you say, well, we can't do that. Well, I'll show you somebody that did. Look in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And they stoned Stephen, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Luke 7, 59 and 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It's hard to stay mad at somebody and be hard towards somebody and hold a grudge towards somebody and seek revenge towards somebody when you're praying for them. When you realize this, ignorant and hated, eager towards God and eager towards righteousness, as you was sometime. And then look what he says here in verse 29. And unto him that smite thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Now I'm going to tell you this too. You might think this is not literal smiting either. It's not literal smiting. If it was, we'd never have to turn the other cheek. Never have to turn the other cheek. That's not what he's talking about. There's lots of ways that a man can smite you.
Yeah.
Lots of ways he can smite you. What it is, it's reacting to your enemies. When they're your enemies, they're going to smite you with their tongue. They're going to smite you with their words. And they hate you. And they curse you. And despitefully use you. And these people here, when they do smite you, and they smite you on the cheek, they mean to hurt your person. Your cheek, your face represents your person. You offer the other also. So what he says to your enemies that hate you, that curse you, what he's saying here, he's condemning the spirit of lawlessness and hatred and yearning for revenge. And turn the other cheek means to show in attitude, to show in word and in deed that we're not looking for revenge. That you can treat me any way you want to. And it makes no difference. It don't change my relationship with God. It ain't going to change my heart. It ain't going to change what I believe about God. It ain't going to change what I believe about Christ. And it ain't going to change my standing with God.
No.
Now, ain't that right? We're not looking for revenge. We have the spirit of love. We have the spirit of love. If every time somebody says something ill to you, if you turn around and said something ill to them, it'd be awful. Wouldn't it? If every time somebody just gritted their teeth at you and you turn around and gritted them back at you, where would we be? It's the heart. This is heart issues. This is heart issues, you see. And I'll look over here in Romans 12, just a moment. That's why I say we want so much. This business of being a believer, it's a heap sight more than walking an aisle, switching your blowgun from one side to the next, and getting down and praying through, and shedding a few tears and getting up and saying, I'm fixed up for heaven now. It's a heap sight more to it than that. And that's why we come to listen. That's why we come to hear. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we study. And we want to learn what God has to say to us. And we want our lives to come into conformity to what our Master says. We want our hearts. We want our minds. We want our wills. We want our affection. We want to be submissive to what our Master says. So look here in Romans 9. Excuse me, Romans 12 and verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Somebody wronged you, somebody mistreats you, somebody hates you. Don't you dare avenge yourself. Don't avenge yourself. Don't try to get even. But rather give place to wrath. In other words, stand out of the way of wrath. Don't give place to it. Don't yield to it. Don't give in to it. What's this now? For it is written, vengeance is mine. Believe me, I'll take care of what the Lord's saying here. Now, he goes back and uses exactly the verses I read a minute ago. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil. Don't let evil overcome you, but overcome evil with good. And you can do that. You really, truly can. I've seen it happen many times over the years with different people. I really have. And I forgot to show you this there in Romans 13. Look in Romans 13, verse 8. And this is, I sign all of my letters that I write to people with this verse of scripture right here. This is the verse I use to sign all of my letters with. Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that hath loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now watch it. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. People are ignorant and mean and cruel and hard and hateful. And we're not to be like that. God help us. Now look back over here in our text. So if he smites you on the cheek, that means that all these things that somebody does towards you that don't like you, that uses you, that curses you and hates you, just instead of trying to get vengeance, just give them the other side. Just give them another sign. And he that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Now what this means is somebody walks up to you and says, now give me your coat. That's not what that's talking about. This is people taking you to the law. This is taking you before courts. This is people wanting to sue you. This is people wanting to mistreat you and take everything you got. That's what it amounts to. They want your coat, they want your cloak, they want everything. They hate you so bad, and if they feel like that you've wronged them somewhere or something, they won't take you to court, they won't take you to law somewhere or another, they won't get what you got. And that's why it says that takes it. This is not a thief. Because of course if it was a thief, we could call the police if somebody steals from us. Now, ain't that right? You ain't gonna, if somebody comes and takes your car, you're going to call the law. If somebody comes and takes your four-wheel, you're going to call the law. If somebody breaks in your shed and steals your lawnmower and your chainsaw, you're going to call the law. So this is somebody that with someone that wants to take you to law and take you to court. And if they do, If they do, you don't insist on your rights. Just submit to the wrong. Show kindness. Avoid strife. Avoid what gender strife. If somebody for some frivolous reason wants to take something out, just recently somebody decided they wanted to take something from us 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. It wasn't theirs, but they swore it down it was. And I said, no, it ain't. It ain't. It ain't. And I said, it's up to you. I said, I ain't proving nothing. If you want it, you're going to have to go to court to get it because I ain't doing nothing. You're going to have to prove it belongs to you because I know it belongs to me. And he went out to set out to prove. He went to set out to prove. Got him a lawyer. And set out to prove. And come to find out that it wasn't his. And then he come with his hat in his hand. You know what he gonna do? I see a fellow one time, he was arguing over that much land between fences, that much land. And I mean it was all about the length of this building, maybe a little further. And one man was unconverted, one man supposed to be a believer. The one who claimed to be a believer was the one doing all the fighting. And he comes and said, what do you think I'll do about it? I said, I'd move that fence and get him that 6 inches and wouldn't think nothing about it. I ain't a fixing to get my 6 inches out. I ain't going to do it. Needless to say, he's not on a sound gospel either. So you see this, what is 6 inches of ground? It all belongs to the Lord. What's 6 inches on one little tiny fence? Let him have his 6 inches. God will give you, you're going to get heaven and walk on streets of gold. Now, I know some of you sitting there thinking, well, it ain't your 6 inches of land. But that's not true. I'm telling you it's the truth. That's the mindset that this world's got. It's mine. And you know, I'm going to get me a mailbox this big, and I'm going to put my name on it, and I'm going to put no trespassing signs all around it. And then if anybody's fence falls, you know, if a fella wants to move my fence, we're going to go to court. We're going to fight over it tooth and nail. If it don't amount to nothing, give in. I'm telling you the honest God's truth. What have you got when you've proved your point? You've made everybody see that you've got a mean, hateful, harsh attitude. If he wants you to cope the law, just go ahead and hear. If that's what's going to take it, if that's what's going to take satisfaction, just go ahead and have it. Now, I'm not talking about your whole farm. I'm not talking about $10,000 worth of cattle. We're talking about people just being cruel. Being cruel. And then in verse 30, and here's what our master says. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Now, this of course, has to be qualified too. Now, should you give money to a drunk who wants to buy something else to drink? We were down in Nashville here the other day. And in the space of one block, there was 3 drunks begging for money. I mean the space of one block. Hey, and we come by one, you got a quarter? Ain't got no quarters. Come back by, you're still sitting there. Man, you got a quarter. You know, that's not, so when he talks about give every man that asketh of thee, this is talking about people that are really poor and in need. This is not talking about people calling you on the phone. I need my light bill paid. And you don't know them from Adam. I need my rent paid. You don't know them from Adam. That's not what it's talking about. This is talking about people that's in great poverty, that's really, truly in need. And I can show you that from the scriptures. Look over here in Deuteronomy 15. You know, and I'll just give you an illustration. I get calls all the time. Other people get calls. Preachers get calls all the time. People stop by here and they ask for things. Woman come in here the other day. She was hiring a Georgie Pine. Boy, she had big old arms and tattoos all over it, and she's needing money to pay her rent for some motel out here. I sit there and listen to her spiel. She is talking 100 mile an hour. Boy, she just, you couldn't keep up with her. She's talking fast as I can listen. I can listen fast. And she got through with all that, and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I can't help you. I ain't going to help you. No, just living off of somebody else to stay in motels. You know when I stay in a motel? When I'm going to a meeting, they got no place else to stay. Nobody says, come over here and stay with me, preacher. But no, that's why we do it when you're on vacation. You're not going to go live in a motel and expect people who work for a living to pay your motel bill, are you? So when he says, ask of him that, give to him that asketh of thee, this is not people just asking you for anything at any time. Don't, you know, trying to make you feel guilty because you don't help everybody every Tom, Dick, and Harry comes down the road. That's not what I was talking about. Look here at Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. If there be among you a poor man, and this is the same thing James says. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Somebody really truly in need, but thou shalt open thine hand unto him and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. So you see, look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. You know, God, everybody wants to use, this is how the social gospel came in. This is how the social gospel came in. Is people using these verses of scripture and think that we ought to be out here gathering in all the poor and feeding them and having big soup kitchens and all that. And that's the very reason why you got such a homeless population, why you got folks living off everybody else. And that one fellow down there in Nashville today is bumming money. One fellow stopped and told him, he said, you know they're hired at McDonald's, you know that? That's what he told me. He did. He's had a little girl with him. He said, you know they're, guy asked me for some money, he said, you know they're hired over at McDonald's. That's not right, isn't it? Now, if somebody's in need and they're trying to get on their feet and they're really trying, I've told you this, I don't know how many times, if we ever find somebody really, really, really in need, there's nothing more enjoyable than helping somebody. Helping somebody. But here in Proverbs 19 and verse 17, it says this. He that hath pity upon the poor, and you notice how you qualify. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. Who will pay? God will pay. Christ will pay. Look over here in 21, chapter 21, verse 26. He coveteth greedy all the day long, the slothful does. His hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Giveth and spareth not. And now let's go back to our test. So give to every man that asketh, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Now this here is a thief. This is a person who steals. Two different people here. Somebody asking, other people take. And we're not forbidden to use the law if somebody steals from us. But we're not to have a spirit of revenge. We just want our property back. We want to be recompensed. That's all. And we should be willing to suffer wrong, even in that respect. You know, our Lord said this. He says, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 6. It says, dare any brother to go against another brother to law? No, we won't do that. And then look what it says here in verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now everybody's called that the golden rule. You know what that is? That's what our Lord says. Call it whatever you want to, but that's what our Master says. Do you want to know how we're to conduct ourselves at any time with anyone? Anytime, at any time with anyone? Here's the answer. How do you want people to treat you? That's what our Master says. You the enemy, how do you want people to treat you? He says, well, you treat them just exactly the way you want them to treat you. They didn't say the way they treat you. That's not what he said. He says, don't treat people the way they treat you, how you want to be treated. He said, that's how you treat people. No matter how they treat you, you treat them like you want to be treated. That's a horse of another color, ain't it? If our Lord dealt with the world as it dealt with him, where would the world be right now? If our Lord dealt with us the way we've dealt with him, where would we be? If he treated us like we treated him, where would we be? Where would we be? Then in verse 36, let me run down here and give you this, then back up and deal with it from there. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. And this is the whole key to it. And this, we as believers are held to a much, much higher standard than the world is. Much higher standard. We hold ourselves to a higher standard. Believers, Christians, are held to a higher standard by anybody. And the world does. Whenever they find out that you're a believer, you're a Christian, they automatically think they hold you to a higher standard than they do themselves or anybody else. Now, don't they? Well, look what our Master says. So be therefore merciful. You see, the world loves its own. Back up here now in verse 32. The world loves its own. For if you love them which only love you, what thank have you? What praise have you? Who thanks you for that? If you only love people that love you, what thank have you? And this word sinners here, this word sinners means the irreligious, no regard for God, no regard for God's law. And sinners is used here three times. It's people that are totally and completely wicked. They don't care for God. They don't care for His law. They don't care for righteousness. It's the worst of the worst. And he says, so if you love them that only love you, what thank have you? Sinners do that. They only love people that love them. They're only good to people that are good to them. Ain't that what he says? And if you do good to them which do good to you, if you only treat people right who treat you right, what praise do you have? Who's going to thank you for that? Who's going to bless you for that? For that's what sinners do for one another. Huh? And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? If you give somebody and say, boy, now I'm going to get that back. I got to get that back. No, no. He said, sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Huh? So what different? What makes you different? What he's saying here is you're no different. If it's the way you are, you're no different than the world. You're no different than a Roman. You're no different than a Hindu, a Gentile, or a pagan, anywhere. Snake worshiper. You're no different. That's what they do. And watch what he says now. But love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. When you give some somebody, don't just, boy, I hope. No, don't do that. And your reward shall be great. When's your reward going to be great? In this life. Here. He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He that soweth abundantly shall also reap abundantly. And that's what he's telling us here. And then, oh my, and you shall be the children of the highest. Children of the highest. Children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and evil. If that's the way he is, that's why we're going to be like him. We want to be kind to the unthankful and to the evil. You know, there's a man I know that works with doctors all the time. Works with doctors, works in the operating room and all that. And Todd was telling me that this man is, and he is, I've known him since before him and his wife got married, and they got a son fixing to go to college, I guess. And he, this one doctor, he said, he called Todd up and he said, I'd like to talk to you. He said, I've watched this man all these years here and he's a Christian and he has, he, He's got every, whatever Christian is, that's what he is. And so since you're his pastor and his preacher, I figured I'd come talk to you that you'd tell me the truth. Any kind of preaching that makes a man like that. He said, I won't come talk to you. Now that's something. For us, that's a wonderful testimony. Yeah? Boy, I just... Ain't that something? Oh, boy. Then, oh, look what it says. Now, Duke say that he's a children of the highest. For he's kind to the unthankful and the evil. Be kind. People ain't thankful, be kind to them. The evil, be kind to them. It's the only world they're going to have. If God don't have mercy on them, it's the only world they're ever going to know. Ain't that right? And then look what he says down here in verse 27. Look at the promises now. Judge not and you shall not be judged. And what this means here is don't be hypercritical. Don't look for a speck in somebody's eyes with a beam in your own. And what our Lord is doing here, and condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. What our Master is doing here, he's condemning the spirit of censoriousness like the Pharisees had and the religious people had. Judging harshly, self-righteously, doing it without mercy, doing it without love. And what you know, David's a perfect illustration of that. You remember when Nathan came to him and set him down, said, David, he said, there was a rich man. He had flocks and had sheep, herds and herds of sheep, flocks and flocks of sheep. He said, had a friend that visited him. Instead of going and getting one of his sheep, he took one of his servant's sheep. It was just like a child to him, a lamb. And he took that lamb from that man and slaughtered it to feed his friend. And it was like his own child. David said, tell me where he is, and I'll see that that man will die. It's not fit that he should live. He's going to die. Nathan put his finger in his eye and says, you're that man, David. You had everything that a man could possibly want. And over here is a man, he had his wife. You took her and then slew her husband. You're that man. But boy, he thought he was so hypercritical and senseless, without mercy, without love. He judged harshly. And if there had been a man like that, David would have had him slain. But he spake a parable to him. That's what he's talking about. And if you don't judge like this, you won't bring judgment upon yourselves. That's what our Master said. If you don't judge like that, then you won't bring judgment upon yourselves. You won't bring it. And then watch what he says now. I love this. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. I mean a good measure. Press down. I mean when you get the basket, you know you can get a bushel basket of beans and pile them on there, you know, and even just put a little few on top, and there won't be a whole bushel unless you shake that thing down. Press them down. That's what he's saying. Gonna give you a good measure. He's gonna press it down. He's gonna shake it. He's gonna shake it. Oh my. And then it's gonna run over. He's gonna put so much in that it'll run over. And he says, this is what men will give in your bosom. You be this type person, and you'll get so much more back than you ever put out. You'll get so much more love, so much more grace, so much more kindness, so much more tenderness, and your heart won't be condemned. Your heart will feel full of grace. For with the same measure that you meet, what you measure out to other people in giving, it'll be measured back to you again. That's why, if you sow sparingly, whatever you sow, whatever you give, that's what you're going to get back. You give harshness, you're going to get harshness back. You give hypercriticalism out, you're going to get hypercriticalism back. You judge harshly without love, without mercy, that's what you're going to get back. He said, don't do that. Men will give you. You do like this. You love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. The Lord will bless you. You'll get your reward here will be great. Our Father, Our Father, thank you for allowing us this wonderful privilege to meet, to be with your children, to be with the saints. Oh Lord, this word is so searching, so cutting, so biting. And oh Lord, we understand that we're totally, totally and absolutely unable to do the things that this your word says without a relationship, a vital union with you, without being joined to you, without knowing you, without you being our life. It's impossible. So Lord, please work in us that we can be this type of person. We can be a believer. We can be love, show kindness, show grace, even to people who are harsh and mean to us. We bless you for this privilege to meet in our Lord's name. Amen.